tonight by singing together the hymn number 263. 263 on the page 282. It's a wonderful gospel hymn. And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Saviour's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain, for me who him to death pursued. Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldst die for me? 263 in the page 282, standing as we sing and singing it out with all of our heart.
Thank you. we just unite our hearts together, please, in a word of prayer. Let us just look to the Lord and praying for the Lord's help and blessing in our meeting this night. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we rejoice, O God, afresh tonight in thy goodness and grace and mercy that finds us here in the house of the Lord to praise thee, to worship thee, to gather around thy word and to seek thy face in prayer. And, O God, we come to thee tonight in no merit of our own, but we come to thee in and through the precious name of our blessed and our only Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who is King of kings, the one who is Lord of lords, and the one who gave himself a ransom for many upon the cross of Calvary. And, Father, we thank thee afresh tonight as thy people for the precious blood of Christ, that blood that cleanseth us from all our sins. We rejoice, O God, tonight as thy people in the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches, O God, of thy grace. The Lord, you have said to thy people that their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. And Father, we thank thee tonight through the blood of Christ. Our sins have been cast into the sea of thy forgiveness, never to be remembered against us any more. We thank thee, O God, tonight for the perfect righteousness of Jesus Christ. We thank thee for one who kept the law of God perfectly for us. And Father, we rejoice, O God, tonight, and we thank thee, O God, that we are accepted in the Beloved. We who once were afar off have now been made nigh by the blood of the Lamb. And Father, we thank thee even for the words of this great hymn of which we've been singing. And we thank thee for thine amazing love. We thank thee, O God, for thy transforming grace and power and thy saving grace and keeping power. And Father, we thank thee for the great hope that we have, a hope that stands the test of time, a hope for eternity, the hope of heaven, the hope of glory itself, to be with Christ forevermore. And oh, Father, as we come to thee tonight, we just look to thee afresh for thy blessing upon this meeting. We realize, O Lord, that it is the presence of the Lord that makes the feast. And Father, we pray that thou wilt outpour thy Spirit upon us. Bless every heart and soul in the meeting tonight, O God, we pray. We thank thee for all who have been able to come. We thank thee for every child of thine. We pray that thou would bless and encourage and strengthen thy people. And lead thy people on with thyself into a closer walk and relationship, Lord, with thee. And even, Lord, should there be any with us tonight who are still not saved, who don't know the Lord as Savior, Lord, speak even to them tonight, and may they come and put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. Remember thy servant, the Reverend Woods, has come to bring thy word and the challenge and the report and the work of Christian education. We pray that thou wilt bless him tonight, fill him with thy Holy Spirit, and, Lord, bless him and use him even in this work. May thy hand of blessing and of grace be upon him in his ministry tonight. And may our hearts and souls be blessed and challenged and encouraged in the things of God. Bless your servant in his labors for thee in Belfast. Keep your hand upon the congregation there for good. And Lord, may they see that, Lord, tide of blessing even in the autumn season coming in upon the work there, we pray. Remember the work of Christian education. We thank thee for the school here in Kilskerry. And for the other schools in our province, we thank the Lord for each one, and we pray for the blessing of God upon them, upon the principals, upon the staff, and upon the pupils. We pray that thou wilt meet their every need, and that thou wilt encourage them, and that thou wilt bless them in the ways of God, and that, Lord, that work might be strengthened and blessed and added to, even in the days that lie ahead. So, Father, we commit this meeting now to thee. Close us in, Lord, with yourself. Remember any that cannot join with us tonight because of age or sickness or infirmity. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless them and be near them. Those that are laid aside in hospital, lay on thy healing hand. And Lord, not only do we pray for this prayer meeting tonight, Lord, but for other prayer meetings and gospel missions and ministry meetings, special endeavors on at this time, right across our land. Bless every faithful a servant of the Lord, every faithful ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. And grant, Lord, that thy work in these days in which we live would know thy reviving hand and thy reviving touch. Bless us now, we pray, tabernacle amongst us this night. And may we go home tonight blessed and encouraged, knowing, Lord, that we've met with thee and that we've heard the voice of the Lord to our hearts, saying, this is the way, walk ye therein. Here in heaven thy dwelling place, for we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. We're going to turn again, please, in our hymn book to the hymn number 699. 699 in the page 458 of your hymn book. Another wonderful hymn reminding us of how the Lord leads and guides like a shepherd. The hymn writer says, Savior, like a shepherd, lead us. Much we need thy tender care. In thy pleasant pastures feed us. For our use thy folds prepare. Blessed Jesus, thou hast bought us. Thine we are. 699, standing again as we sing, and singing it out with all of our hearts. Stage of our meeting, want to welcome all tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see each and every one gathered with us tonight. We bid you a warm word of welcome in the name of the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome all the members and friends of our own congregation, and then friends as well and parents associated with the school in Kilskerry. We welcome you. Nice to have you with us here tonight. We also welcome the Reverend John Woods and his son Mark as well, and to keep him right with the projector, whatever. But we thank your brother for coming, and we pray the Lord will bless our brother as he brings God's word. Just a few announcements for our own congregation. Do remember, please, the services here on the Lord's Day, special anniversary services marking the 50th anniversary of the opening of the church building here. Sunday school restarts on Lord's Day morning at 11 o'clock, so remember that. And Bible class, be much in prayer for the children and boys and girls as they gather for that in the morning service, 12 noon, preceded by the half hour of prayer. The guest preachers, the Reverend Ivan Foster, former minister here of the congregation, and then the evening service at 7 p.m. And the preacher, guest preacher, the Reverend John Gray, also former minister, service two is preceded by the half hour of prayer. And the guest soloist at night is our brother, Mr. Stephen Patterson. So remember these meetings, pray for them, do make them known, and do all you can to invite and encourage others in under the sound of God's word. So do remember that. And hopefully we'll have a few photographs the Reverend Foster has supplied us with that we're taking, I think, at the stone laying and opening of the church, and hopefully have them up maybe in the foyer on the Lord's Day morning just for you to browse. They were taken way back then, some 50 years ago or more. Do remember the work of Christian education. The meeting tonight is about promoting the work of Christian education around our churches as a new venture by our Presbytery's Education Board. And the offering tonight in its entirety goes to the work of Christian education wherever the need is and wherever the Education Board sees that need in our different schools. But welcome our brother, Reverend Woods. We're going to hand over to him now. He's going to lead the rest of the meeting, and the children also will be singing. Welcome you also, boys and girls. Nice to have you tonight. God bless.
Well, I want to thank the Reverend Porter for the words of welcome. It's always good to come to Enniskillen. The Reverend Darrell Abernethy, who's also on the Education Board, he had the responsibility of ringing around all the ministers to book these meetings, and then he decided, well, I think there was four of us that were going to do the meetings, so he decided where he would send us. So he said, well, I'll send you to Enniskillen, and you'll probably want to go and visit your mum and dad and then go on to the meeting. So that's what I did. Picked up Mark early from work. He's my tech man, and came down to visit mum and dad and came on to the meeting. So it is a privilege to come and to be here at the meeting. And of course, on behalf of the Education Board, we thank your minister in session for the opportunity to conduct this meeting. As your minister has said, the Education Board decided recently that just as our missionaries and every other part of the work of God in our denomination conducts deputation meetings to remind God's people of the need for prayerful and practical support for the various aspects of the work of God, well, so does the need of the schools and the work of Christian education. It does require even the prayerful and practical support of the people of God. And of course, to remind right through our little province of the opportunity to even send children to one of the Christian schools. And so it is good to be with you. Now, we're glad to have some of the children to sing from the Kilskerry congregation. And of course, I always like to say, well, some of the teachers that are teaching you taught me as well, so that must make me not too old, but we're glad you're here to sing. And I'm going to ask you to come and sing first of all, please.
is far. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid rock, firm through the fiercest tried and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in heaven.
Thank you. I know in the congregation here, I know from my own time in school in Kilskerry, there were many who attended the school, and I know there are those who prayerfully and practically have supported this aspect of God's work over the years, and we thank you for that, but we encourage you to continue to prayerfully and practically support even this aspect of God's work, and pray, as we have said, for the growth of this work, that even each of the individual schools will grow numerically. There'll be more pupils within them, even the opportunity for more schools to open. And of course, pray for the needs of staff in various places. Continue to remember the financial needs, which of course are ongoing. And of course, do pray for the salvation and the spiritual growth of the boys and girls and the young people within the schools. And do pray, of course, for the teachers, for that strength spiritually and physically and mentally, even day by day and week by week. But we'll watch the video presentation at this stage.
The work of Christian education began 43 years ago in 1979 in Kilskerry, and since that time there's been six schools presently that are operating under the Presbytery Education Board and offering a Christian education, some just in primary school, but some also through to secondary school, some through to A-level classes as well. There's a school in Ballymoney, there's a school in Bangor, there's a school in Kilskerry where it started, and then there's a school in Mourne, Kilkeel, and Newton Abbey, and then also in Portadown.
We had quite a number of parents in the congregation with children, and there was a mutual concern about some of the things which were being taught in the local schools.
It made us realise we're not sending our children. Whatever the cost, whatever we have to do, we're finding an alternative. We believe God would have an alternative, and it turned out that under the law there was the opening for independent schools, and we seized upon it. No money, no government assistance, but then, better still, no government interference.
When the Christian school movement was started in our own denomination 40 years ago, it was with the purpose of protecting and providing a nurturing atmosphere for our children and young people, that they may be established and strengthened and settled in their biblical heritage.
I've been involved now with the Education Board of Presbytery from 2014, and I think one of the things that the Education Board recognises and realises not only that there is a need for Christian education, but the challenge for us as a board and also within our local schools is to grow the schools and to widen the catchment for pupils. As an education board, we are looking at a number of ways that we can make known within the Free Presbyterian Church and the wider evangelical family the fact that Christian education exists, and our schools offer education from nursery right through to GCSE and sometimes to A-level.
Each of the Christian schools run along the same lines as the regular schooling does. As a general rule, we follow the national curriculum as far as it's compatible with the Word of God. So there will be some deviation in a Christian school from some things that we don't believe ought to be taught. Therefore, we leave those out. But by and large, the school runs all the normal subjects that you would expect to find in a Christian school.
We've often been asked, what is the big difference between Christian schools and the state schools? I often remember a humorous story that my daughter told me when she told or informed someone that she attended the Christian school, and the lady asked her, well, what do you do all day? And my daughter replied, well, we do maths and we do English. And the lady was quite taken aback that it wasn't scripture all day. The children in our schools are obviously taught the main subjects from the curriculum, but there is a difference, and the difference is this, that the Word of God and Christianity is central to everything within the school.
When we look at subjects covered within the curriculum, when we look at a timetable in the state school and look at the Christian school timetable, it may not look as if there's a lot of difference, but it's actually what is taught within the subjects in the Christian school that makes the difference.
We want the children to do their very best academically. We want them to get their highest grades possible. We do GCSEs, we do A-levels in some cases, because we want them to go on to higher level education. They want to go to university, some of them. Others want to go into apprenticeships. So they need qualifications to get into those. And that's what we work towards. And we want them to do their very best. We encourage them to do, as a scriptural principle, that they do their very best. And whatever the Lord lays to their hand, that they do it with all their might.
On hearing the bell, pupils make their way to morning worship, which runs until 9:15. This is a very important part of the day, an opportunity to commit the day to the Lord and instruct the children and young people in what God's Word teaches. After a hymn and a prayer, a short message is brought by one of our local ministers, a children's worker, youth worker, or a teacher.
One of the greatest blessings, if not the greatest blessing, in a Christian school is that God's Word is placed in the hands of every boy and girl every day. It's opened, read, and studied on several occasions throughout each school day.
Our teachers are highly qualified and quite capable of teaching the subjects that they teach, and the results that we get in external exams prove that. And when we have inspections from the inspectorate, they cannot ever point out the fact that our schools are a lesser standard. It's always the opposite. They acknowledge that they operate to a high standard.
The high standard of teaching throughout our schools allowed many of our pupils, including myself, to obtain good qualifications and go on to further education and obtain degrees.
We're thankful to the Lord for all the sacrifices and labours that our teachers put in, and our schools wouldn't be able to function if there weren't teachers who were prepared to serve the Lord in this work. There are teachers who have got degrees in the subjects that they're teaching, and we have our own teacher training programme as well, where somebody with A-level qualifications can come in and join our teacher training programme and work their way towards a degree qualification, and at the same time get in-school training as to how to teach classes and how to teach particular subjects.
The curriculum on offer is similar to what you would expect to find in other schools, but the difference with the Christian school is that the syllabus is compatible with God's Word.
When it comes to encouraging children to read, we do so and we encourage them so they might learn to read the Word of God. They learn at an early age to find the place in the Bible, and what a delight it is to see the smile on their faces when they find that portion for themselves. It is our prayer that it will always be their delight to turn to the Word of God, that it may be that lamp unto their feet and light unto their path. In regard to numeracy, the pupils are taught that God is a God of order, and He exhorts us to do all things decently and in order.
We, in effect, are teaching children from 3-year-old right through to GCSE level. At the present time, we have both preschool and a primary and secondary levels. The preschool we had hoped would feed into the primary school, and that has begun to take place. That some children start off 3-4-year-old in the preschool, and then parents are happy enough to bring their children to the primary school and advance from there on.
Our pupils study great works of literature. We do edit standard textbooks. We edit out blasphemies, improper language. We edit references to millions of years. We don't necessarily take out those words because we want them to see the weaknesses of the theory of evolution. We want scriptures to be the cornerstone of our lessons.
There are some extracurricular activities that children engage in as well, whether locally in school, maybe going swimming, or other sports activities that they pursue outside of the normal timetable, normal curriculum. There's school trips to France. We've gone to see some of the World War sites, gone to Paris, up the Eiffel Tower, get a little bit of French culture and language experience. Some of the government and politics classes have the opportunity to go over to London in the near future, to Westminster, to attend Prime Minister's Question Time, possibly, certainly see around the Palace of Westminster. So we try to give them as broad a school experience as possible.
Educational outings have a vital role. Places of interest can be visited and complement what is being taught in the classroom.
We had an inspection this year towards the end of May, and we had been praying much about it, and we'd asked that we might know peace from the Lord and His presence and blessing, and the Lord answered powerfully. We had two main aims when the inspectors would come, that we would be enabled to magnify the Lord's name through what they saw in our school, and also that we'd have the opportunity to witness for the Lord to them. And we saw that the Lord answered bountifully in both of those points.
When parents send their children to a Christian school, they see that as an extension of their homes and the family values that they have. And in our case in Christian education, that's biblical standards and moral principles, and that's what we seek to maintain in the school and to live out in our lives. With the report that they had written out about the school, that was one thing that they had commented on, that the teachers did live out their Christian ethos and that the pupils benefited from that.
We have children from various evangelical backgrounds, so it's very, very important then for the local school and through the parents and the teachers to be promoting the work.
Our teachers do make major sacrifices, and they go the second mile in labouring for the Lord within the confines of our Christian school. There's also the sacrifice with regards to fees that we have to charge parents, because we don't get any funding from the Department of Education. We're independent, and the price that we have to pay for our independency is that there is no funding for capital costs or for salary costs. So therefore, we have to pass that cost on to parents. So there are fees that have to be charged, and each school has tuition fees. We try to keep those to a minimum, you know, so that it's affordable and accessible to as many people as possible, but we still have to raise a certain amount of finance every year to cover the running costs of our school. And we spread the fees out. You can pay them either all up front for the year, or they can be spread out over the 10 months of the school year to really facilitate people paying them off in a way that's suitable to them.
Teachers are professional with years of experience, but most importantly, I feel they have a genuine burden for the spiritual welfare of the children. And this really shows in their attitude and their behaviour and the example they set to the children.
It's only natural. We had reservations at the start whether to send our children to Christian schools or not, and even especially when they come up to GCSE level. After having two children go through the Christian school, there's no doubt in our mind that we did make the right choice.
On that presentation, and it means I don't have to say all those things all over again. That's the great thing of having a DVD. But I would like you to turn, please, to the Psalm 127. The Psalm 127. As I was thinking about the meeting and preparing for it, while this is such a familiar psalm, I realised, at least from my records, I don't think I've ever preached upon it. So it was a psalm the Lord laid upon my heart as I prepared for the meeting tonight. And we'll read the psalm together, the Psalm 127. And in this psalm, and probably many of you could quote it, I think some of my children said, well, we have learned that in school. Psalm 127, the psalmist says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrow. For so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." Let's just have a brief word of prayer before we come to consider God's word tonight. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee tonight for even all that has taken place already in the meeting. We thank thee for the hymns we've been able to sing. We thank thee for even those pieces that were brought to us by the boys and girls and young people from the school. We thank thee even for the video presentation and the various aspects of the work of the Christian schools that have been set before us. And we thank thee even now for thy word. And we thank thee that even in this psalm, we're reminded that even children are an heritage of the Lord, that the fruit of the womb is his reward. And Father, as we come even to consider your word for a little time, and even as we seek to apply this psalm even to the work of Christian education, we pray that thou wilt hide thy word in our hearts, that thou wilt direct us even through thy word, that thou wilt guide us through thy word, that thou wilt challenge our hearts even through thy word, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Now tonight already something of the work of Christian education has been set before you, even in the DVD presentation. And of course these meetings have the purpose of encouraging you to continue to prayerfully and practically support the work of Christian education. And of course, if your children are not yet school age or still school age, to encourage you even to consider sending your children to a Christian school. I know, as I've already said earlier, that over the years, many children from the congregation here have attended the Christian school because I was at school with many of them, and that the work has been supported by many of you practically and prayerfully. I always like, not that I've done too many of these meetings yet, but to give the context of my own education. Many of you may know it anyway, but I began my school days in a state primary school in Castlederg. My dad was the vice principal and the P7 teacher, and he was one of a number of Christian teachers in that school, for which I am thankful. And then my first 2 years and the beginning of my third year were spent in a grammar school in Strabane. And there was actually a Christian teacher in that school. She was coming near the end of her teaching career, but she had taught my father in Oma Academy maybe a little near the start of her teaching career. So how paths cross over the years. But then at the beginning of my third year, circumstances worked out for our family to move to Kilskerry, where myself and my brother and my sister were able to attend the Christian school in Kilskerry. And I'm not here to give my whole testimony tonight, but I certainly can say that I benefited spiritually from those years, even in the Christian school. My wife spent a few years teaching in the Christian school, and once the children came along, we've sort of moved around a few of the schools, because obviously in my line of work you tend to move around. And two of the children began their education in the school in Portadown, and then when we went to Bush Mills, three of them were in the school in Ballymoney, and then when we moved to Belfast, all five have been in the school in Newton Abbey. And well, there's just two left this year, because Mark, he just finished in the year that is past. So we've a little history with the work of the schools and the work of Christian education. But as I thought upon this Psalm 127, I believe in some ways, as we consider this Psalm very briefly, that there is within it a summary of the purpose of Christian education. And really the emphasis of that summary is that the work of the Christian school is to build upon the work that you put in with your children in the Christian home, and even the work of the Christian church. And as you look at this Psalm 127, the first aspect of the purpose of Christian education that I believe we can see even within this Psalm is the matter of protection. See, the psalm opens by speaking about the building of the house. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. And when you think of your family and of children growing up within a Christian home, when you think of the work of the Christian church and children being taught in Sunday school and children's meetings, and of course in the other regular meetings, and then you add to that the work of the Christian school, well, Every aspect of the labours of the Christian parent, or the Christian Sunday school teacher, or the Christian preacher, the Christian teacher in the Christian school, is with the purpose of building the house of God, building up the family of God, evangelizing those that are not saved, that they might be saved and become part of the great spiritual temple, the great spiritual house. And of course, building up those who are already saved and are part of that great spiritual house, the church. But that opening verse not only says, except the Lord build the house, there's an emphasis on the building of the house. They labor in vain that build it. It goes on to say, except the Lord keep the city. We might say guard the city. The watchman waketh but in vain. And of course, you can picture in your mind the walled cities, many of which we read of in the scriptures, and the watchmen upon the walls, the watchtower where the watchman was watching out for danger, with the purpose of protecting the inhabitants of the city, protecting the city, watching for the approach of danger that he might sound out the alarm. You will know that the prophet Ezekiel, in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verse 17, he was told by the Lord that he was being made a watchman. In Ezekiel chapter 3 and the verse 17, the Lord said, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore, hear the word of my mouth and give them warning from me. And of course, God gave the word to Ezekiel as the prophet. It was his responsibility to pass on the word of God, that he might be that faithful watchman. And when we think then of the city being built, we think of the walls for protection, we think of the watchman doing his part to guard the city, we might think in modern terms of the security guard watching the monitors linked to the cameras. And of course, there's other pictures and illustrations of protection in the word of God. We might think back there in Isaiah, or rather forward in Isaiah chapter 5, of the vineyard and how it was fenced around to protect the fruit that was growing within. Isaiah 5. And if you look at the opening two verses of Isaiah 5, it says, Now will I sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved, touching his vineyard. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful field. And he fenced it and gathered out the stones thereof and planted it with the choicest vine and built a tower in the midst of it and also made a winepress therein. And he looked that it should bring forth grapes, and it brought forth wild grapes. Then down in verse 5 it says, And now go to, I will tell you what I will do to my vineyard. I will take away the heads thereof, and it shall be eaten up, and break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And so we see how protection was needed. The wall, the tower, even in the vineyard. We might think also of John chapter 10 as another illustration of protection, because in John chapter 10 we have the Lord Jesus as a shepherd. We have the sheepfold. And of course the sheepfold was that walled enclosure. And the shepherd was something of the door and the doorway to protect also. And there in John chapter 10, and the opening two verses, the Lord Jesus says, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Then down in verse 7 we read, Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them, because the Lord Jesus was there to protect his sheep. And whatever illustration we care to focus in upon as we think of this protection, you in your home as a Christian parent, as your children are growing up or as they grew up in the past, you had a purpose to protect them, to protect their physical well-being, but to protect their spiritual well-being by guarding what they watched, what they read, and so on. And of course, the church has a part in protecting children, young people, as well as adults, from false teaching, for example. And so the purpose of the Christian school is to continue to build upon that protection you seek to give to your children in the Christian home, that protection the church seeks to give to them, to build upon that day by day as they have to spend so many days and years in school during those years from their youngest days right through until they leave school. And so this is one of the purposes of the work of Christian education, to protect the children and young people from that which would be spiritually and morally harmful for them during those years. Now, of course, despite all the protection, having your children in a Christian school cannot guarantee their salvation or their growth in grace, no more than being brought up in a Christian home can guarantee their salvation or their growth in grace, no more than those who sit in the house of God where the gospel is preached can guarantee their salvation. But at the same time, God uses means. And that's why prayer then is so important, that God would bless the means. Because the opening verse of this Psalm 127 says, "Except the Lord build the house, they labour in vain that build it." There has to be labour, but there needs to be that prayer for the blessing of God upon it. "Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain." That doesn't mean the watchman's not to do his part. But of course, that's where the need for prayer comes in, that the Lord would bless the efforts, whether it be in your home, whether it be in the church, whether it be, as we're considering tonight, in the work of the Christian schools. But very quickly, back here in the Psalm 127, not only do we see the purpose of protection, we see the purpose of giving direction. Because in the verses 3 and 4 of the Psalm, the verse 3 says, "Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." And then verse 4 says, "As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth." Now, I'm not sure whether any of you are interested in archery, or maybe you take part in it, but of course you can go in and buy all that you need and go out and take part in the archery. But when we think of the man that's being set before us in the psalm, he would have had to make the instruments, make the arrow, point it, shape it, and then, of course, point the arrow toward the target. And when you think of bringing up your children in the Christian home, that's what you're seeking to do in those formative years. They're like arrows in your hand, and you're seeking to direct them in the right way, to shape their lives, and to point them towards the target, as it were. To point them, of course, to Christ for salvation, and then to point them to Christ as our great example as to how to live as believers, and of course, pointing out the examples of other believers over the years. You have that duty as a Christian parent. And of course, the church has its part in giving direction to children, to young people, as well as adults with regard to spiritual things. And what is the great target? What is man's chief end? It is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. We might be saved, that we might serve the Lord and go on with him, giving direction. And so just as you seek to give that direction to your children in the Christian home, or maybe it's grandchildren now you're giving direction to, just as the church seeks to give that direction, so again the Christian school day by day seeks to build upon that, to continue to give that direction, pointing children and young people to Christ for salvation, directing them concerning living for God and serving him, not only while they're still at home and in school, but of course for those years ahead when school day has come to an end and there's either going out into further education or into the place of employment. The scripture says, train up a child in the way that he will go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so just as you would pray at home, as you direct your children, as you would pray for the work of the church, the Sunday school, the children's meetings and so on, as direction is given to the children, that the Lord would bless the directions given to the salvation of boys and girls and young people and to their growth in grace. So can I encourage you to pray concerning that for the work of the Christian schools and to consider that there, as the word of God is central to all, the direction is given, that the Lord will bless those means. And consider then the purpose of this work of Christian education, to give this direction as well as this protection. And that's all to lead to fruition. Because when we speak of something coming to fruition, of course, we're referring to the fulfillment of a plan or project. And just as in this Psalm 127, the builder of the house desires to see it complete, the watchman in the city remains alert with the end purpose of protecting the inhabitants of the city. He's the purpose of seeing that come to fruition. So the work carried on in the Christian school has the purpose of seeing come to fruition in the lives of the boys and girls and young people the seed that is sown day by day. Oh yes, to see them do well academically, and as it was said in the DVD, to do their best. But also that as the seed of God's word is sown, that it will come to fruition in their salvation, in their growth in grace, long before they would finish school days. That when they go out into the place of further education or the place of employment, just as you will pray that for your children at home, that all the seed that is sown might come to fruition. I've already said that having your children in a Christian school doesn't guarantee their salvation even before they leave the doors of the school. But even if they've come through the school, just as they've come through your home or come through the church, even if tonight they're not saved or they're out of Christ, you can still pray for fruit, for all the seed that has been sown, whether it be within a Christian school, whether it be within the church, whether it be within your own home. The seed that has been sown, that there might be that harvest in their salvation and in their growth in grace. That they might, as when it comes to the end of the psalm there, it says in the verse 5, happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. That they might be able to defend. The picture here is of defending the city, even from the enemies in the gate. But that they might be able to stand in the great spiritual warfare, because we know we're in a spiritual warfare every day of our lives as believers, whether it be as children or young people or as adults. And when it all comes to fruition, that our children and young people might be able to, as it is put there, speak with the enemies in the gate. They might be able to stand up in the great spiritual warfare, and take their stand for God in their day. And so from that perspective, this little psalm sets before us something of a summary of the purpose of the work of Christian education. And I trust that it might encourage you to keep praying for this aspect of God's work, to practically support it in whatever way you can. And again, if your children are coming to school age or are school age, that you might even consider the work of the Christian school and the possibility of even sending your children that way. Thank you for your time. I'm going to hand over to your minister again. Thank you.
A special thanks to our brother tonight, the Reverend Woods, for coming and bringing God's word and setting before us the great challenge and the great need of the work of our Christian schools and our Christian education movement. We thank our brother for coming. We pray the Lord to bless him. Thank also for the boys and girls as well who have ministered in song. I trust the Lord will bless you when you start back at school. I'm sure you're all chomping at the bit to get back into school very soon when it comes. But we thank you tonight for coming and taking part, boys and girls and young people. We're just going to have a wee time of prayer before the closing hymn. I do remember the work of Christian education. I do pray for that very especially, that God's blessing would be upon it and meet all the needs that have been presented tonight to us. Remember the services in the Lord's Day, the Sunday school and Bible class starting as well, and God's hand of blessing upon them. Remember the sick in your prayers as well. Miss Irene Hannah is ill in hospital. I do remember Deborah Latimer. She's finished her treatment. Just pray for her that you know God's grace and strength. Value your prayer for her own mother as well. She's ill in hospital at this time. I do remember her as well, and her various needs as well in her different missionary works as well. We maybe ask two of her office bearers to lead us off in prayer. Our brother, Mr.